The place that we have to begin is a Mishnah Ksuva stuff, Kuf Yud Amud Beis. Kuf Yud Amud Beis. The Mishnah states, Hakol Ma'alin L'Eretz Yisrael, V'in Hakol Motziyin. Hakol Ma'alin means a person may bring up as Kol Menei Veiso, meaning Odom Kofel Alos V'Leishiv Ima V'Rushalayim. Even if it's to go up to Yerushalayim, there are different aspects of it. There's an aspect of, as we'll see, to Yerushalayim, and an aspect to Eretz Yisrael. So I call Ma'alin Eretz Yisrael, means if someone in the family is disposed to go to Eretz Yisrael, clearly if the husband is disposed, if the wife is disposed in contemporary times, there's some debate about it. The Rambam says she cannot force her husband to go. But I call Ma'alin Eretz Yisrael, and I call Motziyin. But they can't force someone to leave. On the other end, I call Ma'alin Yerushalayim. From Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim is an additional Kedusha, and one can force others in his family to go to Yerushalayim with him. Ve'eina kol motziyim. And this is Echad HaNoshim ve'Echad HaNoshim. In the time of the Migdash, apparently, both men and women had exactly the same right to force each other. Now, the Tosfos states that, well, we'll go a little further into the Gemara itself. The Tana Rabbanan, Hu Omer La'alos, the husband is disposed to make Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. The Omer Shaloi La'alos, she's happy where she is, she doesn't want to leave. It's Kaifin Oyso La'alos, then she is legally obligated to accompany him. V'im Lav, if she doesn't, there's Teitzim L'Ksuva, that he can divorce her and he doesn't have to pay the Ksuva. He omeres la'alois, that she wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, who omer shaloi la'alois, that he says, yeah, I'm not interested in going to Eretz Yisrael. It's kaipen oise la'alois, so she can force him to go. V'im lav, and if he doesn't want to go, is yoytzev yitn ksuva. I'll have to divorce her and give her a ksuva. He omeres lotzes, she's in Eretz Yisrael and she wants to leave. Who omer shaloi lotzes, he's happy to stay there. It's kaipen oise shaloi lotzes, then she can't leave. V'im lav, but if she insists upon leaving, it's teitzev lo ksuva, can give her a get without paying the ksuva. Who omer lotzes, v'omer shaloi lotzes, he says he wants to leave and she wants to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Kaipen oise shaloi lotzes, he can't leave. V'im lav, and if he insists upon leaving, it's yeitzev yitn ksuva, he has to pay the ksuva. That's clearly in the time of the Migdash, this was the din. After the Migdash, there's some debate. The Rambam apparently learned that the basis of a tesefta, that the husband can force the wife in contemporary times and she cannot force him. So here we have the basic halacha that the Aliyat Eretz Yisrael is so significant that one partner in the marriage could force the other to go to Eretz Yisrael, whether they wish to or they don't wish to. So now the question is how this mission applies both post the Migdash and in contemporary times. Now, the first remark that we have on the page, which addresses this head-on, Hu Omer La'alos, so Tosfos states, Ein Anoyeg Bizmanazeh. So, okay, in the time of the Tosfot, okay, so we're dealing somewhere 1,000 years or so back, less than 1,000 years back, but approximately that. So Tosfos says it does not apply. Why? Di'ika Sakonas Drocha. It was very dangerous to go to Eretz Yisrael. I may have mentioned to you before that in the door of the Beis Yosef, in the door after the Beis Yosef, there was a case which is discussed in all the Achronim of that time. They all have tshubas on this case. There was a man who lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he died, and he did not have any children. And he had a brother who lived, I believe, in Spain. I believe it was Spain. But Al Kaponim in Europe. Maybe it was after the Gerush in Spain, so he lived elsewhere, but he lived in Europe. And he had, the woman needed chalitza, so she could get remarried. And about 3 years had already elapsed since the time his brother died, and he still didn't come to give chalitza. So he said that he can't come because to travel there to Yisrael to give the chalitza and then turn around and go back will take him 6 months. And he can't afford to close his business for 6 months to support his family. He's not able to go. And it's apparent within the Tshuvas that the thought of a woman that she should go from Eretz Yisrael to Europe was altogether nothing to be forget about it. There was nothing to be thought about. That was an impossibility due to the safety considerations involved. So Tosfos says in his time they considered it Ikar Sakonas Drochem, that it's dangerous to travel. So they're exempt for that reason. What's interesting is that in the era of the Balei Tosfos, there was an aliyah of a few hundred Balei Tosfos that went there to Israel, and they actually established the yeshiva in Akko. Apparently the community was not of permanent duration, because ultimately it seems to have petered out. But there was, in the time of the Rishonim, such a community of Balei Tosfos. Now, interestingly, apparently there were even some that went to Eretz Yisrael and then came back to France from Eretz Yisrael. We have a statement in the Gemara, it's in Kedushin and some other places, where it says the following: Mitro b'marovo narabo pras, which suggests when there's rain in Eretz Yisrael. So narabo pras, then the Euphrates River overflows. Al Kalponim, they had all types of questions. If you follow the Rishonim around Shas, all the very Tosfos, the Rashi, exactly which, what was the direction of the Euphrates River? Just geographically, was it laid out from northeast, rather northwest to southeast, or the opposite direction from northeast to southwest? This was not known. And of all types of concerns. Which way the river actually flowed was also not known, which is a little bit more surprising, because most rivers in the world flow from north to south. At least, I guess, the ones that are north of the equator flow from north to south. Maybe the ones south. What?
The Nile flows north.
Whatever, they're exceptional, right? And most rivers flow south in this one. Most rivers flow south. Al-Kalponim, this was also not known. And the debates, which way the river flowed, and what exactly the Gemara meant, until Tosfos, I believe in Bechiris, there's a Tosfos or two on it. And there, Tosfos reports that one of the Balei Tosfos, who was in Eretz Yisrael, and he actually came back to France. He came back to the Skidri Yeshivas of the Balei Tosfos. So he laid out the facts for them. He said that the river starts, flows from the northwest to the southeast, as we know. It starts somewhere up in Turkey, whatever, in that area. And it meanders down in a southeasterly direction. It keeps going east until it drains and down in the Persian Gulf, in that area of the world. And the river flows from north to south. So they then came to the conclusion what the meaning of this Gemara was, that if it rained heavily in Eretz Yisrael, so the Euphrates would have tremendous amounts of water, which way they would see downstream in Bavel eventually. They'd see unusual volumes of water when there was heavy rain, you know, further to the north. But these, so on one hand it was difficult to go and information was not readily accessible. But on the other hand, there were in fact significant times. In fact, this yeshiva of the Balei Tosfos in Akko was perhaps the most significant. The rest were Yechidim. As I mentioned last time, the Kaftar of Ferach, who wrote extensively, was considered the most authoritative caliph, because he addressed the issues of Eretz Yisrael on a very broad basis. The Kaftar of Ferach lived in Eretz Yisrael for 7 years. And he did a lot of wandering around to find out what things were about. So Tosfos writes, the Indian of Sakonas Drochem. And Rabbeinu Chaim added another dimension to this. The Achshav Eino Mitzvah Lord of Eretz Yisrael. Nowadays, he says, it's not a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Now, he's not saying that inherently there is no mitzvah, but rather functionally there is no mitzvah. Why? Ki yesh kama mitzvahs atluyas ba'aretz. There are many mitzvahs which you have to be mekayim in Eretz Yisrael. Bekama einshim, and we're held accountable for them. Ein ono yicholim lizor b'hem v'lamar aleim, which would be very difficult to fulfill. As we know in contemporary times, the observance of Shemitah, for example, has been a very, very difficult mitzvah to be Mekayim properly. So he was concerned that we would not be Mekayim all the mitzvahs at Luyas Barat properly. So, means theoretically there is a mitzvah, Bismanazah, but functionally, the mitzvah doesn't apply. Because the point in coming to Eretz Yisrael, we can come to Eretz Yisrael for many reasons. Even nowadays, more reasons perhaps than in the Balei Tosfos time. then you had to come to Eretz Yisrael principally for the Shem Shemayim reasons. He didn't go there to earn a living. And he didn't necessarily go there for security either. It wasn't particularly secure. Unless you were in Europe and you were in the outs of the Catholic Church, so you had to go to live in a place where the Muslims were in charge. So like the Ramban had to run away from Barcelona to live out his life in Eretz Yisrael. After the debates that he was forced to hold, but the bishops of Barcelona took revenge upon him, and he realized that he was not going to be safe if he stayed in Barcelona, and therefore he ran away. And he lived out the last number of years of his life in Eretz Yisrael. So, other than that, he didn't go for security reasons. So he had to go to Shem Shemayim. In contemporary times, he might go for political reasons too. In a discussion I had with someone of the as far right as you can go on the Israeli scale, I mean, someone from the worldly orbit of the Eda Haredis. So we discussed one day American retirees and their experience in Eretz Yisrael. So I described to him a day that I spent with such people. And the attitude that they had, and Halavai, in fact, we all had that attitude, it's Toiv Har, it's Ma'id Ma'id. They're imbued fully to the nth degree with Toiv Har, it's Ma'id Ma'id. And I explained to him why. I said, they cannot see anything bad in Eretz Yisrael. I said, they spent their whole life, they lived in Chutz La'aretz, they worked with Goyim, they suffered from anti-Semitism, all that living with Goyim for 60, 70 years of their life that's involved in living in such a scene. It's finally they come to a place where the Jews are in charge. There's no Goy that's going to call you a dirty Jew. The simcha that you have from that experience is Toiv Ha'aretz Ma'id Ma'id. And he understood it. He's a person who with an extremely broad understanding of the world. He was able to relate to them fully what their experience was. But that's not the reason. That's one of the nice things in Eretz Yisrael. But that's not the reason to go there. The reason for it is to be mekayim the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael. As the Chazal remarked, almost laconically, there's some sefer in the Bach say it's really not so laconical. That Moshe Rabbeinu, why was he so interested in going to Eretz Yisrael? Did he wish to eat of the Paris of Eretz Yisrael? That's a very laconic statement. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted a Jaffa orange. That's what the Moshe felt. He couldn't get it in the Sinai. That was what was missing. So Chazal said, who wanted to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Satluyas Baretz? About some cipher in the Bach, which is a very significant point to make on Tu B'Shvat, say, the Gemara was not merely, it was not a laconic statement. And to eat the fruits of Eretz Yisrael is itself a mitzvah. And that's what the Gemara meant. Did Moshe Rabbeinu want to eat of the fruits of Eretz Yisrael? Because it's a mitzvah. So what the Gemara meant to say is that on the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu, he did not need the Kedusha, which would come from eating Paris arts. So that would be inexplicable as the reason that he should want to go to Eretz Yisrael. So it must be for the broader opportunity to fulfill the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael. Yes?
I have a question. Why are there Jews that don't speak Lawrence?
Why are there
Jews
who
don't speak Lawrence?
Why? Listen, we should respect everyone, but historical experience that most Jews that lived in other countries in the world before we came to this country did not have the easiest time with non-Jews. So if you ask my grandfather and your grandfather, they came from very different places in the world. What country does your family come from?
The Soviet Union.
Soviet Union. Which part of the Soviet Union?
Uzbekistan.
Okay, my family came from Ukraine. No. We did not have a very pleasant time living in the Ukraine with the non-Jews that lived there. And I don't believe that you had the most pleasant time your grandfather living in Uzbekistan either. What? Maybe it was, you know, not so difficult. I don't know. I'm not from there. But when we lived in Ukraine, we did not have the most pleasant of time with the non-Jews. So we suffered a great deal. And consequently, and Jews of the Arab countries also suffered a great deal. So we have historically have a reason that we're not so comfortable. But in life, we must learn in every society to respect everybody.
So why Lawrence doesn't respect Jews?
Why don't? That's a very long subject. But anti-Semitism comes in the Western world from the church. That was the historic root of anti-Semitism.
Who created it?
Who created it? It's not relevant who created it anymore. Whatever. What? Whoever created it.
You know who's Easter,
What?
You know who's Easter.
Good. That does not mean, whatever happened after him.
You know who's
Easter? Yes. I know very well. But that's what brought a great deal of anti-Semitism.
He was a glatt kosher rabbi.
Good. It was not so glatt kosher. But that's not the time for that. He was not.
Why?
Not for now. The Talmud tells us about him. He was far from glatt kosher. Yes. He was far from.
Kabbalah?
Believe me, and the Kabbalah doesn't have nice things either to say about him. Okay, but that is not for now. So Tosfos says the purpose of coming to Eretz Yisrael is to fulfill the mitzvahs. That's our purpose in coming. And if we can't fulfill the mitzvahs, then we shouldn't be going to Eretz Yisrael. So that's the view of Rabbi Rav Chaim Kohn. So he would have what I would call the middle ground. Or he's in the middle. There are really four positions on this particular mitzvah. Four positions. And he is in the middle, because he says, functionally, he says, theoretically there is a mitzvah, but functionally it doesn't exist. It can't be mekayem. There are three other views that we should take a look at before we go forward. There's the view of the Ramban. The Ramban is the most extreme proponent of the mitzvah of Yeshiva Aretz. You can tear him very times. And the Ramban writes in Mitzvah Dalet, in the mitzvahs that he added on to the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs, in the Mitzvah Asay. So the fourth mitzvah, Shenitz Tavinu L'Reshes Oretz, Asher Nosan Okel Yisrael Alav Osein. We are commanded to inherit the land that the Rabbanu Shalom has given, L'Avram, L'Yitzhak, L'Yakov, L'Nezvo B'Lezu L'Aseinu Ben Umos. And we should not allow it to remain in anyone else's hands. Mina umos, whether in the possession of other nations, or to leave it abandoned. We shall inherit the land and we shall inhabit it. And the Ramban goes on in a very lengthy piece, and the Ramban tells us near the end of this piece, Im Kain, he mitzvahs asay the doris. It is a mitzvah which applies in all generations. Mischayev cholechad mimenu v'apilu v'zman golos ki yaduah b'talmud v'mekoymes harbe. That there's a mitzvah even in the golos to not only live in Eretz Yisrael but to conquer Eretz Yisrael too. The Ramban learns that this mitzvah applies across all the generations. In the times of Moshe, the times of Yeshua, the times of the Golos, that we have to conquer Eretz Yisrael and make it us. This is the most extreme position in terms of the mitzvahs of the significance of Eretz Yisrael in contemporary times. The Ramban's view is a very difficult view. There's a very obvious problem, which is a little bit mystifying with it. And then there's a parish on the Sefer HaMitzvahs called Megillas Esther, whose purpose is to answer all the points that the Ramban has raised about the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs. And he raised a very obvious point. The Gemara tells us at the end of Ksuvus, and in the bottom of Kufyudom at base, the Gemara relates the following. That Rav Zeira become Ishtamet B'nei de Rav Yehuda. Rav Zeira did not want to wind up in the presence of Rav Yehuda. So he made sure he didn't bump into him. This was in Bob. For what reason? The boy in the Meisach Eretz Yisrael. Rav Zeira wanted to go from over there Eretz Yisrael. And he ultimately does. He goes from Bob and he goes up to Eretz Yisrael. So why didn't he want to meet up with Rav Yehuda? The Amar Rav Yehuda, Kol Oilam, Yibobol Eretz Yisrael, Oivir Basay. Rabbi Yehuda held that if a person goes from Bovel back to Eretz Yisrael, he violates the mitzvah from Nineveh. Shenamar Bovel Yuvu v'shama Yiyu. You shall be brought to Bovel and remain there Yompokti Aysam Nu Mashem until the day that I redeem you, till the day that I call forth for you. So you see, there's a mitzvah to stay in Chutz Laretz, not to go back to Eretz Yisrael. That's not referring to an individual person. That's referring to the kelim which were captured from the Beis Hamikdash will remain in Bovel until the Rabbeinu Shel Olam deems fit to bring them back. Rabbi Yehuda argued, "Ksiv kro acharina." There's another pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Hishbati eschem benos Yerushalayim, and this we find three times in Shir Hashirim. I swear, I made the children of Yerushalayim swear with tzvois, with tzivois, and by ilos asoda, by the animals of the field, that im toiru was abba chetechpots, that you won't come back to Eretz Yisrael until you're called. Rab Zeira hu shelo yalu Yisrael b'chaim. That does not mean that we should not individually go back to Eretz Yisrael. It means that we should not collectively form an army. Yachad b'yot chazoka. We shouldn't make an army and go, we're going to make a Jewish crusade. We're going to conquer Eretz Yisrael. That we are sworn not to do. Rab Zeira. Rab Yehuda said, Hishbati achrina ksiv. That's from a different Hishbati. Rab Zeira humi boyle lichad Rab Yisib Rab Chanina. You need the other Ishbati as well. Domer Gimel Shvuos Halolu Lomo. Why do we have these three oaths? Acha Shalolu Yalu Yisrael B'chaimo. One, that we should not take Eretz Yisrael by conquest. Acha Shishbiya Kodesh Baruch Yisrael Shalom Yimredu B'umais. That in Chutz Laretz we should not get involved in revolutionary activities. Acha Shishbiya Kodesh Baruch Yisrael Yikachovim Shalom Yishtabdu B'hem Yisrael Yisrael Midai. That they should not oppress us too much. These are three things that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wanted. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Imtairu, imtairu, ksiv." Is another pasuk. So Rabbi Zera goes on to say there are additional aspects of the shvuas, and there are merumas of these pasukim. So in this Gemara we find that according to Rabbi Yehuda, one violates a mitzvah saseh. And as I think the Mashor points out, and that is the reason for that is, apparently Golus has been predicted. Moshe Rabbeinu told us we're going into Golus. And the Novi has defined that Golus, Bavela Yuvu, Vashama Yuvu, he's defined what Moshe Rabbeinu said, what the nature of the Golus is, how we go into Golus, how we're going to come forth from the Golus, is that Yom Pokti Yisam, until the Rabbeinu Shalom calls us forth. And perhaps it's also one of my implicit that it says Ad Yavaram Chosham Ad Yavaram Zukanisa, that Chazal tell us that the establishment of the second Jewish Commonwealth should have taken place in a manner of fact which paralleled the first, with Nisim and Eflois, with Nisim Gluyim. Except we were not Zeicha because we did not live appropriately in Golas Bavel. But apparently, just in the same way that the Rebbeinu took us in Eretz Yisrael the first time, he was going to bring us in Eretz Yisrael the second time. It was changed in the sense that it came about through Kairish, and it came about in Nehemiah and Ezra, in a manner which was al pidera hateva, where we struggled to reestablish ourselves in Eretz Yisrael. So apparently I would say that this Bavela Yuvu was a definition of what Moshe Rabbeinu said, that we're going to be sent into Golus, and nobody defined how the process of Golus is, which is very critical. Now Rab Zeira said that it does not ban the individual Jew from going back to Eretz Yisrael. That was merely a reference to what's going to happen to the Klei Shoras. But what we are prohibited from doing is to make an army of conquest to go conquer Eretz Yisrael. Now, we might say that Rab Zeira is a statement of the Agoda, not a statement of the Halacha. That's conceivable. That could be. Now, if we were to take, not that I'm saying that it's necessarily the case, but even if we were to take such a stance to try to defend the Ramban, but nevertheless, usually what we find is the following, that the halacha goes to a certain point, and then the agoda goes further than that in the same direction as the halacha goes. That's the nature of the relationship between the agoda and the halacha. But here, according to the Ramban, we're winding up that the halacha and the agadah were polar extremes from each other. The halacha obligates us to form an army of conquest, and the agadah says that we are forced more not to do so, which is very perplexing. This is not normally found in the Talmudic literature. And the Gilas Esther raises this as a problem. I've amplified it perhaps a little bit, but how can you reconcile? Because it comes out, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even an individual Jew is not supposed to go. According to Rabbi Zeira, who in fact went, it's because he who went to Eretz Yisrael, he disagreed with the teaching of Rabbi Yehuda, and he felt that was not a problem. But he explained the psukim shlo yalu b'chaima. So according to all views, there's no way to justify armed conquest of Eretz Yisrael. Either individually we were even banned from going, or we're certainly collectively banned from undertaking such an enterprise. So what view did the Ramban follow to come to this conclusion? Now the Megillas Esther, he goes further than this. He wants to dispute the fact, not only is there not a mitzvah of conquest of Eretz Yisrael, but he wants to argue there's no mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Bizman HaZeh either. He is the most extreme. If the Rav Chaim Cohen, Rav Chaim the Baal Tosfos, right, Rabbeinu Chaim the Baal Tosfos, was one who said, theoretically there is a mitzvah, just functionally there's not a mitzvah. He comes to Megillas Esther, and he wants to tell us that not only functionally is there a mitzvah, theoretically there's no mitzvah either. And how does he want to prove this? He wants to prove this. He says, how can you explain Rabbi Yehuda's view? How did Rabbi Yehuda articulate the fact that Bavela Yuvu, Shoma Yiyu, that you have to stay in Chutzlarts? If there's a mitzvah of the Torah to live in Eretz Yisrael, so how could a Novi can come? That's one of the things that can't be. The Rambam tells us in the famous eighth parak of the Yisodei HaTorah, where the Rambam describes the whole mindset of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Rambam tells us that if any Novi comes to be Machrish Moshe Rabbeinu, we throw the Novi out. He can't be Machrish Nevuas Moshe. They tell us not to accept any Novi which goes against Nevuas Moshe. So he says, how is the Novi going to come? The Novi Yirmi is going to tell us, Bavela Yubu, Vashoma Yi, or Yom Pokti, or some, I can't go to Eretz Yisrael, and the Torah obligates me to go to Eretz Yisrael. He says, how can that be? So he argues that there's no mitzvah, even a mitzvah, no mitzvah, not only of conquest of Eretz Yisrael, not even of Yeshiva Eretz either. There's no mitzvah of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael in contemporary times. He says, the Hoi Novi, Rashai L'chadish Dovah Mayata, V'kol Shegein Lister, V'ol Raya She'im V'ol Mitzvah, V'ma Sh'omru Gam Kein, V'ma Sh'omru Tot Shachom Efligu V'shevach Diras Oretz, Dachke B'sman Shabes HaMikdash Kain, V'ol Achshav Ein Mitzvah L'Oremu. So I think that I've answered his Hasoga on the Ramban, because his Hasoga is not only on the Ramban, it's on the overwhelming percentage of Rishonim too. The Ramban is the most, in that regard, the most extreme, because the Ramban says it's an obligation of conquest of Eretz Yisrael. But most of the Rishonim hold is a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz, and we'll see as incorporated in the halacha itself, in the Ibn Ezra. So consequently, we do have to defend that view, but I think what I've offered is already a good explanation. That Yirmiyahu merely explained that the fact that the Rebbeinu Shlom said it would be sent into Golus, which is predicted in the Torah. So Yirmiyahu defined what Moshe Rabbeinu, what the parameters of that Golus are. So he's defining Torah's Moshe. He is not changing Torah's Moshe. He is defining Torah's Moshe. And that was perhaps within his parameters to do. Now we have a fourth Shita. We have a fourth sheet. And that fourth sheet is what's really the most mainstream sheet. And that is that there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, Bizmanasa. There's a mitzvah of Yeshiva Eretz. And this is really the most accepted sheet of Halacha, as we'll see. If we'll take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, the Ebra Ezer, and Simon Ayin Hei. So here we have, of all the places, we wonder, where would the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz be discussed? And surprisingly, it's in the middle of Shulchan Aruch Ebn Ezer and the obligations between husband and wife. That's what we find there. And the background is this Mishnah. that are kol ma'il in Eretz Yisrael. So how does it work out bizman hazeh? So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Ayin Hey Siv Dalet. Omer Eish Lalus Eretz Yisrael he ain't a reitzo. States him below Ksuva. Omer he lalus but who ain't a reitzo? Yaitziv Yidin Ksuva. So he passes like the end of the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch. Wadin the chol mokom Eretz Yisrael Yerushalayim. Shakom ma'il in Eretz Yisrael Menakom Matziyan Misham. Shakom ma'il in Yerushalayim. So this is the Shulchan Aruch is already talking bizman hazeh. And we may say, if the Shulchan Aruch was, the Beis Yosef was both Yofa Dorish and Yofa Mekayim. Because as we know, the Beis Yosef was born in Spain, and he was part of the exile of Spain in 1492. And he then lived in Izmir in Turkey, and he already reached, he was a phenomenal figure. I mean, as a Ish Kodesh already in Izmir in Turkey, and then he goes on and lives in Eretz Yisrael and writes the Shulchan Aruch just outside Tzfat. So you may say that it was Yofa Derish and Yofa Bekayim, that with all the difficulties of the time that he lived in, but the Beis Yosef in fact lived al Admas HaKodesh. Now Sif Hei says Yesh Misha Aimer the Hode Kaifin Lalos L'Eretz Yisrael. If it's not dangerous to go, Hilkoch Misof Hamarova Nuemon and Kaifin Lalis. So he gives some parameters, which I'm not ready to define. But he says from the end of the Marova Nuemon and Kaifin Lalis, because it would be dangerous in those times. And we Nuemon or the Ma'ila Kaifin Lalis Derech Yabosha. The you can go through overland. You don't have to travel the sea. Vegam Derech Yambi Mosachamo. They can travel in the ocean and Dafka in the summer times and get there. Im ain sham list them if they don't have concern with robbers and pirates. So here we have now a discussion of this view. So we have in the Beis Shmuel first Yesh Mishaimer I am a Mordechai v'Harosh bizman hazeh kaifin oisay ala oisa, that he could force her but she can't force him because it's a lesser mitzvah. In the Indian in bizman hazeh mitzvah la'alos l'eretz Yisrael. The issue raised by Tosis. So I am a Tosis of Ksuvas. Kosvu Mishem Rabbeinu Chaim. The Ein Mitzvah Bizman Hazeh. Uva Harosh Vaguda Vatur Mashma the Yesh Mitzvah Af Bizman Hazeh. That the Mitzvah applies even in contemporary times. And interestingly, this is confirmed by the Goyim. And we know how strong the Goyim was about Yishuv Haaretz. The Goyim left, in fact, to leave, we don't know, forever, or at least temporarily, at least to go to Eretz Yisrael. And he turned back midway, for reasons that are obscure. No one, whatever the reasons we have, they're all speculative, from practical reasons to mystical reasons. There are all types of reasons advanced that we don't really know. Apparently he reached as far as Amsterdam, I believe, and then he turned around and he came back. But his Talmidim went to Eretz Yisrael. Menachem Mendel Mishklov led the big aliyah of Ashkenazic Jews to Eretz Yisrael. So here we have the Goyim's comments. The Goyim writes, "Holav hochi afilu bezman hazeh kaifin ben isha ben isha. If there's no sakana, then you can even force nowadays. This is the Torah. For Rambam, kosev the bezman hazeh kaifin ela esa isha, only the woman. Ukemosha kosev b'tesefta." Who wrote Zalalas? So he ain't a writes Zalalas, Kaifin Oisalalas. He writes Zalalas, but who ain't a writes it? Ain't Kaifin Oisalalas. So this is in contradiction to the Gemara. So the Rambam explained that it's not a contradiction. For what reason? Because the Tosefta Ayrib is Manazeh. The Tosefta is talking after the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. So it's a lesser mitzvah. So he has the power to force her, but she can't force him. Ve'vi or Rosh, who Mordechai, Vagos Mordechai, Vagos Aguda. That the man has greater power than the woman in this regard. But Tam Nirali, he says, what's the reason? The woman is not mechuyev nowadays because of the mitzvah Eretz Yisrael. Why? The mishum mitzvah sanahugosham dafkish mitzvah alav the troyach lekayim. The mitzvahs that are there, for whatever reason, only the man has a chiyev to exert himself to such an extent to fulfill them. Ma she'ein kein bizman beis hamikdash, that everybody is equal to you. Now, then he says, "Ayin tois v'sham dibur amaskel hu," that said we're exempt both for reasons of sakana and because he can't be mekayim the mitzvahs. But the Goyin writes, Avol Arosh Vagos, Aguda Vagos, Mordechai, Mordechai, Cholkin, Vekospud, Vizmanazeh, Koifin, Oisa, you can force her to go. It's a chiyuv to live in Eretz, it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Avol Osa, Pierushalmi Shom, Avol Ramam, Srile, Dachman, Vizmanazeh, Koifin, Shneim. So I reported the Ramam to be backwards. Before the Ramam says he forced both of them, which of course would be Yeredeya, Avos. Svarah Rishayna the Tosis Hanal and Chilek the Inlochadoy Beromit Bifnei Pikuach Nefesh Vakol Lefiyanim. So Tosis' first Svarah, which is recorded in the Shulchan Aruch, is one that we have to take seriously, but we have to gauge in each era: is it dangerous to go to Eretz Yisrael or not? Because this, you know, we have our principle is that Pikuach Nefesh is the paramount value in the Torah, except for the three cardinal sins. So obviously we can't say, well, Mitzvah Yishev Aretz, and let's forget about Sakana. That we don't have a right to do. But the Goyin very clearly paskins, as the Beis Shmuel does, that the mitzvah is a mitzvah yishev aretz bismanazeh. It's interesting that Taz, in fact, does paskin like the Tosfos of Reb Chaim Kol. So, but most Rishonim, apparently, and that's the way to grow the Beis Shmuel paskin, the halacha is a mitzvah yishev aretz bismanazeh. So there we have four days. We have the Megillas Esther who claims that there's no mitzvah of yishev aretz at all bismanazeh. We have Reb Chaim Kohn who says this theoretically a mitzvah, but functionally no mitzvah. We have many Rishonim, the Mordechai and the Rosh and the Tor and the Ghost Mordechai, who hold, and apparently the Rambam too, that there's a mitzvah bismanazeh, but I think no mitzvah of kibush aretz. And finally the Ramban, who's the most extreme of the views in being Bechayev, that in fact we have an obligation to make an army and conquer Eretz Yisrael. Those are four shittas that we have. But the hachra seems to be like the sheet that is a mitzvah of yishuv and not a mitzvah of kibush. Now, interestingly, in terms of the parameters of what the mitzvah of yishuv aretz is, so here we find the Pischei Tshuva at the end of Siman Ayin Hei. He quotes a number of tshuvas. And let me share them with you. So he brings a whole story that there were three men that decided they're going to Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to take their wives and their children with them. And the Bezdin in their town basically put out an Easter on them to go, because they said it's too dangerous to bring children along on such a journey. So they wrote to the Mieltstocker, one of the Achronim, to ask him, V'heshev l'ininim is manas a mitzvah l'alas l'Eretz Yisrael, is there a mitzvah? So he cites the Ramban, he says, Ramban, mona mitzvah z'ubachal mitzvah, smekrod ori arashtem oisa, v'arashtem oisa v'shaftem bo. Now, this is very fascinating, the Trumas Hadeshim. Hiflik Shom Ivro Omnom. He writes the following. He says, the Tosfos, we don't paskin like that Tosfos, for a number of different reasons, that there's no mitzvah of Yishev Aretz, Bizmanazeh. V'chein Kosev Bal Nesivos HaMishpat, V'chein Kol HaZmanim Shov Nekiyam Mitzvizim. The mitzvah applies in all times. That din still applies, Bizmanazeh. Im came Vada, the Lost Spirit, who ordered up Chaim Koyen. We got Mashakosva, Toysa Shandinoig, Bizmanazeh, Diko, Sakonas Drochem, Vadaf, Bizmana Bias, Koshoevo Misham Sakonag Luya, who was an obvious Sakon, he'd be exempt even in the time of the Migdash. My name is Lok of Lalas, was a Mishtana Lafiazman. So he says, that one way to gauge that people go regularly on business, he says, we see the Sochrim travel regularly. They don't feel it's a dangerous place to go. So that's a simon that it's not really dangerous. And the fact that the Bezdin made a takona that you shouldn't go because it's a sakona fiktanim. So he says, the Rabbanim that lived in the Mediterranean islands, you know, Crete and these islands in the Mediterranean, they see people traveling the Mediterranean all the time with young children. And nobody seems to feel it's a sakana even in that time. Nevertheless, they don't have to listen to them. They're not mechuyev to listen to the Bezdin for this. Because the people, the Rabbonim that see, it's a metzias question, the Rabbonim that live in the Mediterranean, they see firsthand that they're not correct. But he says you need one condition. And what is the Shiloh Mokum Muchan Lios Motzilo Isham Parnosos Berevach? Yes, that Parnos Berevach. And some say for also passing ideas, and this is a commercial cost of a Trumas Edition. This comes to the Rishonim. That a person has to have an established Parnos in Eretz Yisrael. A person who won't live properly, won't be mekayim in the mitzvah, so gets so overwhelmed with the problems of parnosa. Chas v'shalom. And while yoytz marriage is all chutzlars lumo torah merabo, to learn Torah, we could leave Eretz Yisrael. Is mikom kol shekein shelo linsoa lechatchila b'mokom shein lo achana lilmo, that you won't be able to learn, you won't be able to mekayim the Torah properly, you can't go. V'klal b'zeh ashrei hazoicha l'kach, that fortunate is the one that is zoicha to live in Eretz Yisrael. V'einoi nitzrach l'brias, but he shouldn't have to live from other people. U'misparnas shom afilu chayei tzar, even if he live in difficulty, he can live there. V'yavar Hashem, aval ein kol adam zoicha l'kach. And he says, usually people don't go because of the difficulty of supporting a family there. And then he writes, while kaponam elu anoisim l'shom utzricham ha'yideikin l'sparnes min atztoko, v'yuhoyo b'chutzlar t'yichulim l'sparnes mifasi yideim. There were people that are capable. We're not talking about shlamazel. You can't earn a living in Eretz Yisrael, chutzlar, nobody doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael. But a guy that could earn a living in Eretz Yisrael, in chutzlar, and then he'll go to Eretz Yisrael, and he can't earn a living. And loytoyv oisim, this is improper. Ki godul anenem yegi akapo, better the person should support himself. And one should not go if it doesn't have parnos, and I believe that some sefer also paskin this way. Which leads us to one very fascinating conclusion that I'd like to end with. We have the view of Reb Chaim Cohen that says that if a person can't be mekayim the mitzvahs, he's exempt from going. And he created a general ptur, an exemption from living in Eretz Yisrael, as Manasseh said. The Rishonim did not agree with him. They apparently feel they can go to Eretz Yisrael and they could be mekayim the mitzvahs. But if it impinges upon a way, you see clearly from the Pesach of the Pesach Teshuva, we're assuming that there is a mitzvah, this Manasseh. And yet, if a person will not be able to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom properly, because he doesn't have proper parnos in Eretz Yisrael, he won't be able to learn the Torah properly, won't be able to observe the Torah, then he's also not supposed to go. So whether we have a general b'tur because of Reb Chaim Cohen, or we don't have a general b'tur, but everyone agrees that if you're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, it's almanas to be mekayim the Torah at least equally to the way you were in Chutz Lartz. If we're going to fall in our service of the Rabbeinu Shalom coming to Eretz Yisrael, then we're not supposed to be going there. And this Rabbi Isai, I'm a big believer in living in Eretz Yisrael. I'm a big Ayif Tzion, Baruch Hashem. But when a person decides to make Aliyah, a person has to take this very, very seriously. Many, many people have made Aliyah from this country, and the end result is that they're raising their children at a lower level in Ruchnias than they would have been raising them in the United States. And that has to do with the interface, the American model, the way we live, does not fit in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a very polarized place, and our style of living doesn't fit in there. And most Americans are not willing to join the Haredi society. They're uncomfortable. That's really not the type of world we're coming from. And they're left with two choices. Either to join a society which is less prim than the one that we're coming from in this country by and large, or to try to live as Americans and not fit in with anyone, which has also not been a very productive for many, many people. Yeah, there are new attempts now to be able to define what we could say as a derech shlishi, to be able to live in Eretz Yisrael. And time will tell in the next 15, 20 years if they succeed or not in establishing it, a niche for a very successful, you know, a particularly American approach to living in Eretz Yisrael. But my words only meant not to dissuade people from going to Eretz Yisrael, but rather, as in all things, we have to do with our eyes open in this world. You know, even a paratrooper jumps out of a plane that's moving mighty fast, but he has a pretty idea what he's jumping into before he jumps. You know, they don't just take him up in a plane, open the door and tell him to jump out with no intelligence about where he's jumping. And that's the same when it involves issues of our family, and particularly of children. Chinuch habonim is very, very difficult for Americans in Eretz Yisrael. Very, very difficult. That is the crux issue, is chinuch habonim. And our bonis, particularly bonim, is even worse than bonis, of sons in Eretz Yisrael, is the most daunting of challenges. And basically, as we see in the halacha articulated here by the Piskei Tshuva, from the Rishonim, from the Tashbits and others, that to go to Eretz Yisrael is a phenomenal mitzvah, but it can't be at the expense of ruchnius. So we have to plan accordingly to be sure that Be'ezus Hashem, that we will at least be equal, and really hopefully to go up, as we're obligated to do, as we live alad Masa Kodesh. And as the citation expressed, Ashrei mi shezeicha lekach, and halavai that all of us will be zeicha. Rabbi Yisai, good night.